In our series on the gospel truth, and do you know which number it is, Tim? He's checking right now. Well, 13? All right, message number 13. In our last message, we talked about our responsibilities to the gospel and what we are not to do. What we are not to do. We already talked about these. We're never to pervert the gospel. Regardless of what the pressure is, don't pervert the gospel. We are never to be ashamed of the gospel. We are never to hide the gospel. Those are three things we are not to do. This evening, we're going to move on and look at the positive aspects of our responsibility to the gospel. It's very interesting. Numbers are a very interesting thing. When I was a little kid, I lived at 666 Detroit Street. How would you like to live there? That was right on one of the parts of Lake Orion, Michigan. But when I was a little boy, I lived there at that house, 666 Detroit Street. It was right on the canal that went into Lake Orion. And I was playing there. My dad and my grandpa was sitting in the boat, and I got in the boat with my dad and my grandpa. It was Mother's Day, as I recall. Well, I don't recall it at all, as I recall my mom telling the story. I was too little to remember any of this. And as men do, I have to laugh. I'm getting sidetracked here, but you know, they always accuse women of talking so much. Now, there's a lot of women who do talk a lot, but you know, I see at least half a dozen wives sitting out there waiting for their husbands after the evening service. And you know who's doing the talking? Ladies, I'll give you one. All right? Because it's the men that are doing the talking. The wives are waiting. But anyway, the men were talking in the boat. And the weather was beautiful. And I went out to the end of the boat. Mom and the ladies were finishing up the meals. And I just, quiet little fellow, went out of the dock, got in the boat, and went over and looked the edge of the boat and went head down into the muck and the water. You know, there's a couple of feet of water and about 100 feet of muck. I don't know, lots of muck. 2 year old, and my dad and granddad must have heard the splash. Man, how different things could have been. So they reached down, pulled me up, pulled up this little two-year-old. I'm screaming and gasping for air. It made my mom's day. but the little boy owes his life to, that's me, owes his life to his father and his grandfather. I'm glad that they reached down and pulled me out of the muck. Now you say, well, where are you going with this, preacher? I knew you'd ask that. You know, they could have said, that little brat, we knew he was headed for trouble. He'd been told a million times not to get out close to the water. He should know better than that. If he falls in, he'll drown. And then they could have gone back to talking and just let me drown. He said, they wouldn't do that. No, I'm thankful that they did not do that. But here's my point. We as believers have a responsibility to the gospel. And that responsibility to the gospel is we need to say that we need to see that there are others who are drowning in the sea of sin and headed for hell's fire, and we need to throw out the lifeline. We need to throw out the lifeline within their reach. There's an old song by Edward Ufford, Ufford. It's called Throw Out the Lifeline. And I was thinking about that. It says, throw out the lifeline across the dark wave, there is a brother whom someone should save. Someone's brother, oh, who then will dare to throw out the lifeline his peril to share? Throw out the lifeline with hand quick and strong. Why do you tarry? Why linger so long? See, he is sinking. Hasten today and out with the lifeboat, away and away. And the chorus says, throw out the lifeline. Throw out the lifeline, someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today. It isn't in this hymn book, but it was in one of the hymn books in the past, churches that I had. And I'm glad, I'm very glad, I'm extremely glad that somebody threw out the lifeline to me. It happened to be a Sunday school teacher and his wife that threw out the lifeline. Who threw out the lifeline to you? Was it a deacon? Was it the preacher? Was it a friend? Was it an acquaintance? But somebody threw out the lifeline. And I believe that we have an obligation to do that. We have a responsibility to throw out the lifeline. If anybody's going to receive the gift of God, somebody needs to tell them. God hasn't ordained that the angels do that. God has told us that we need to do that. We have a responsibility to do that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Paul realized the obligation to share the gospel message with the lost. The Apostle Paul started out in Romans chapter 1, verse 14, and he says, I am debtor. The word debtor there has the understanding of being, I'm obligated. The Apostle Paul says, you know, somebody threw the lifeline out to me. It happened to be Jesus Christ who threw the lifeline out to him. But he says, Jesus Christ threw the lifeline out to me. I have the obligation to throw it out to other people. He says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And then it goes on to say in verse 15, he says, I am ready to preach the gospel. You know, believers, as believers, we have an obligation to share the life-giving gospel message. It isn't just the preacher. It isn't just the hired gun. We all have that obligation to do that. I know it's Old Testament, but I want to have you turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 3. In verse 18 and 19, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou gavest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked of his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, and his blood shall I require at thine hand. Verse 19, and if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, and thou hast delivered thy soul. There's an important principle there. We'll look at a New Testament counterpart there, but there's an important principle there. God doesn't hold you responsible to save anybody. God holds you responsible to warn them. It has to be the Holy Spirit. It has to be the Holy Spirit that gets a hold of them, but you need to warn them. You need to warn them. It was just three houses down. Linda will likely remember it. I've used it here enough, but in my former church, we had some friends there, and they would come over about every year to be with us. And they had a bratty little kid, a bratty little daughter who just wouldn't listen. I'm sorry, but she was. Renda was a bratty little kid. We live not close, three houses down. You have the service road, and then you have Howell Avenue right there. It's a busy road. And I'm out there in the front, and I said, now make sure you don't go near that road. She decided she knew better. Renda decided she knew better, and she started heading towards the service road. And I looked down the service road, and there's a dump truck coming down the service road. Now, her dad wasn't catching all this, so I took off as fast as I could, and I was measurably younger then, and so it was pretty fast. And I ended up tackling her, and we ended up in the ditch, and the ditch was muddy, and she ended up all muddy, and she's screaming and crying. She's all muddy. He got me all muddy. You know what? But I thought that it was better that I stop her than she get run over by a truck. She was muddy, but she wasn't dead. And you know, there's a lot of times when people really don't want to hear what we tell them. My mom and myself have been told in no uncertain terms by my brother that he's not interested. But that doesn't stop us. We still try and tackle it once again from time to time, and tried again a little bit recently because, you know what, I don't want them to end up in the place where people end up, hell, that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But our job as believers isn't just to come here and sit, isn't just to come here soak and come here and sour. Our job is to throw out the lifeline. I know that's Old Testament, but there's a principle there. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 26 and 27, I believe the Apostle Paul, perhaps, I can't read his mind. But I believe the Apostle Paul perhaps has this Old Testament principle in his mind when he writes this. He says, "Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Why did he say that? He says, their blood's not on my hands. He says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." I told you the truth. So it's your business, it's my business, to throw out the lifeline to people who are lost. They may not like it, but that doesn't matter. If they reject it, that's no skin off your nose. That's no skin off your nose. And I have to remind myself of that sometimes. It's not easy for me either. I feel real bad. We've been witnessing to a young lady, and I was wearing a different coat than I normally wear because the other coat that I normally wear has a pocket full of gospel tracts. And so I went to this place, and we talked to this young lady again, and I reached in my pocket to give her a gospel tract, and you know what I got? Nothing. I felt really bad about that because so I loaded it up. Now it's all loaded again. You need to be locked and loaded when you go out for the Lord. I mean that in the right way. I'm talking about with. Oh boy, I can see this. This is out on the air. Well, what I'm talking about is the gospel. I'm talking about the weapons that are spiritual, not carnal. So, not that I have anything against guns, but anyway. So I guess my first point is, in fact, I know my first point is, that was all introduction. Throwing out the gospel lifeline is our business. How do you do it? Well, we're going to talk about guns again for a moment. I was going to bring one, but then I figured I'd scare everybody to death, even though I showed you it was empty. But we need to have a shotgun approach. Now there's several approaches. You need to have a shotgun approach. Now, what do you mean by the shotgun approach? Well, today we know about when we turn on the TV, we have anchormen. One of the anchormen that I well remember was Walter Cronkite. How many of you remember Walter Cronkite? All right, I still hear his voice in my head yet to this day. They got anchormen and anchor women. But in the early days, they had town criers. And in England, they weren't called town criers. They were called heralds. Heralds. They heralded out. They spoke out a message. So you had town criers here, and in England, you had heralds. And they would go up and down in the town, and they'd be using the shotgun approach. You know what they did? They used a shotgun approach, and they would make public announcements. You know, they'd go up and down the street and make public announcements. They would spread this stuff all around to do that. Now, we have some shotgun approaches here at the First Baptist Church. And you should have some shotgun approaches, too. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, spring's coming, and we're going to go door to door. We're going to use a shotgun approach. We're going to go into a neighborhood, and we're going to use a shotgun approach. We're going to knock on doors. We're going to hand out gospel tracts to everybody. Boom, shotgun approach. Internet, all these services go on the internet. We're using the shotgun approach around the world. Interestingly enough, when you use the shotgun approach, sometimes you get to use the personal approach as well, because I regularly get people who listen to a message on the internet. Got one this week. I got to answer them Monday or Tuesday, asking me some questions about the message that they heard over the internet, and I'll email them back and answer them and try and engage them in a situation so I can personally witness to them. But you try and use the shotgun approach. How do you use the shotgun approach? Well, when you're at work and somebody brings up something, do your best to try and turn the situation to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ so that other people can hear that, and if they're interested, talk to you about that. If you have Mark, your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. It says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature." The word preach means to openly proclaim, to publicly announce. That's what it means. So openly proclaim, publicly announce that you're a Christian. Let that be known. And you know what it'll do? When people get in difficult times, I used to work for Amway. I never sold Amway. I used to work for Amway. I work for Amway in the liquid department. Let me tell you, I would never use any of their internal products back then when I worked in the liquid department, but that's another thing. I would never touch their toothpaste with a 10-foot pole. I remember having a leak in the oil in the airline, and it dripped oil into the toothpaste, and I was the man in charge. I was the head in that shift, and so I tagged that batch and said that they couldn't use it. They had to throw it away because oil had dripped into the toothpaste. Well, the shop manager came along, who's my boss. He stirred up the oil and said, "Run it," and took off my tag. I decided I wasn't going to use any of their internal products if they're going to do that. But at any rate, you publicly proclaim, you openly proclaim, and everybody knew there that I was a believer. I got called names. Oh, preacher. Oh, deacon. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And somebody would be swearing, they'd say, "Oh, we can't do that because the preacher's around." Well, they're responsible to God for it. But you know, the interesting thing was, because of my open proclamation in my talking, in my day-to-day things, they see me pray in the lunchroom and try and turn the conversation to the Lord Jesus Christ. When they got in binds, guess who they came to ask to pray? Yeah, they get me aside, you know, like a secret. You know, "Don't tell anybody, but would you pray for me? Because such and such is having surgery now, and I'd really appreciate it if you'd pray for me." I said, "Yes, I surely would," and I had, guess what, gospel tracts, and I would try and strike up a conversation and try and witness to them. So do use the shotgun approach in every opportunity that you get. Openly and publicly proclaim the gospel. Be a gospel crier. Be a gospel herald, if you would. You know, I read a book sometime back by H. Clay Trumbull, and he wrote this in the book, The Principles of Evangelism. He said, "God, if," this was his own desire, "God, if you will give me the strength, every time I have the opportunity to introduce the topic in conversation, I will always be ready to talk about Christ." So he would always try and turn the conversation around to things that are spiritual. I need to emphasize that it's just not the preacher's job. That's everybody's job. At every opportunity, put in a plug for Christ. Put in a plug for Christ, even if you only get in a plug for Christ. Put in a plug for Christ. Encourage people to come to your church. Encourage people to come and hear your preacher. It pays to know what your preacher's preaching about. And to look ahead, because you don't have to guess too much about me most of the time. I took you by surprise Sunday school because it was a one-time shot that I taught the Sunday school this morning. But guess what I'm going to preach on next week? The book of James. Guess what I'm going to preach on? I'm going to preach on 20 through 26 next week. So read through that. And in your conversation, invite them, you know. Some people think that their work saved them. You know what? Our preacher's going to preach on that next week. Why don't you come and hear it? Encourage people. Some people are surprised. Some people saw what I look like when I'm young. I guess they're running the Jules Smith series again on TV 30. And I have an introduction in each one of those tapes, and I'm in some of those tapes with Dr. Jules Smith. Remember your Biblical Heritage Archive? It was down in the other auditorium, and he was preaching there, and with that beautiful wood in the background and all that kind of stuff. And we've had three or four people... since that's been on, we've had three or four people come to visit the services because of that series that was shot 20 years ago, something like that. Yeah, a long time ago, and it's still powerful. By the way, this is the 400th anniversary of the King James Version of the Bible. I'm doing a series of messages that relate to that we'll be sharing right here at the First Baptist Church. There will be a time for a couple weeks where I'll have the entire Bible collection set out. So that people can come by and can see it. But back to what I'm saying is sometimes you need to use the shotgun approach. You need to advertise Jesus to the general public. Mark chapter 13, verse 10. "And the gospel must first be published among all nations," Mark 13, 10 says. Publish is the same word that we looked at earlier that was rendered preach. It means to make a public proclamation of the gospel. How can you do it publicly? Give out Gospels of John to people. Have you ever read the Gospel of John or John Romans. Have you ever read this? Give those out. We got evangelistic meetings coming out. You know, one of the reasons I don't like to have evangelistic meetings is, let me tell you, one of the reasons I don't like to have evangelistic meetings is because all saved people come. What are you, you know, you're supposed to have evangelistic meetings, and evangelistic meetings, if they're going to be evangelistic meetings, they're supposed to be for the unsaved. And so, Brother Bill, we're talking back and forth, and we're trying to decide, you know, what we should do. Probably in the morning service, I'm going to have him preach a solidly evangelistic message there, but I'm probably going to have him preach to Christians on Saturday night. I'm probably going to have him preach to Christians on Sunday school and Sunday night. But I'm going to urge you to bring unsaved people, invite unsaved people, and get them here Sunday morning of those meetings, because I want to have evangelistic meetings. And it's really kind of silly to preach solid gospel preaching when all the people who attend are saved. So pray for the evangelistic meetings. You can do that. Use the shotgun approach. Bring them out. Say that they'll hear some good singing. They will hear some good singing. All right, now we get down to the closer approach. After you use the shotgun approach, you need to share and be ready to share the gospel personally. And we see in Acts chapter 5 and verse 24, Acts 5:24, it says, daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know several of you are having Bible studies, evangelistic Bible studies with people where you're specifically trying to individually do that. You have the shotgun approach, but then you try and work with people personally. That's good. That's good. Try and get them to answer their questions. And all this, and when a person proclaims the gospel, as we have seen, that is rather on an impersonal level. That's more the shotgun approach. But the purpose of that is to create interest. And those who are interested must be dealt with on a more personal level. That's what they do at the Alpha Women's Center. Regularly, the counselors and Mrs. Hickey, they teach. They get the girls one-on-one. They show, they show the movie about the unborn baby and all that kind of stuff. And then they get right face-to-face with them and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and go through the material. And that's where the teaching part comes in. It's instruction by word of mouth with the expectation of influencing the understanding of the one taught. That's a whole mouthful just to say you want them to get saved. You want them to get saved. So you're on the personal level. You're explaining things in greater detail to them. You're evangelizing them. And that's what they did here in Acts chapter 5, verse 24. House to house. They went house to house. And they tried to get more specific. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, it says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of Jesus Christ, and here's the word, to testify. That's the Strong's word, 1263, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The word testify means to bear witness earnestly and repeatedly. You know what a witness is? A witness tells what he knows. You know how you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know the Bible verses, so you witness personally to them what you know about what Jesus Christ has done for you. There's all kinds of ways that you can witness. There's no one particular way that is necessarily better than another way, but I found people very, very receptive when I get in a conversation with them, when I tell them or say something like this, may I share with you how I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? You know, so sometimes they're much more receptive when I tell them, you know, I realized that I was a sinner lost and headed for hell, instead of saying, you're a sinner lost and headed for hell. If you want to do it that way, that's fine. But I'm telling them of my experience. I'm telling them of when my Sunday school teacher told me that if you didn't know Christ, you're going to go to hell. And I went home in my own bedroom and quietly, and I cried, and I told the Lord, I don't want to go to hell. Please save me from going to hell. I tell them my testimony and what the Lord has done for me. And that is what you need to do. You need to go from the shotgun approach. You all should be involved in somehow the shotgun approach. Just send out tracts. Just witness. Some of you have, there's all kinds of different ways that you can do that. Get involved in the TEL program. Go hang door hangers. You say, well, what if somebody doesn't like it? Well, you know what? There's going to be people who don't like it. People call me on the telephone. I hate it when people call me to sell me something when I get home Sunday at 9 o'clock and I tell them so. Say, take my name off your dumb list. I don't want to hear from you at 9 o'clock on a Sunday evening. Well, I am from such and such. Well, good. I still want my name off the list. Thank you. Goodbye. Now, so some people, that's not the gospel, but you'll get some people like me, in the realm of the gospel area. It's even worse when I'm in the middle of caring for my dad and somebody calls me up, and starts to wax eloquent and, oh, well. But anyway, there's some people who's not going to like it. But I bet you there's some of you, I don't bet, I would venture to guess that there are some of you out there this evening who didn't like it when you were witness to the first time. Can I see your hands? Look at that, I'm right. You thought, how dare they? Do they have a right? Yeah, aren't you glad they came back? Amen. So, I'm going to stop. How are you doing in personal evangelism? Get involved somehow in the shotgun approach. Even if it's to try and turn family conversations around to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know sometimes they'll cut you off. I've been told, we don't want to hear that anymore. But you know what? Okay. But then the blood's on their head. The Apostle Paul says, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. I tried. And he even said, if they aren't going to listen to you, the Lord said, shake off the dust off your sandals and move on to the next person. All you have to do is try. All you have to do is, so use the shotgun approach, but also be ready for the personal approach, personal evangelism, Bible study. Try and get some people that you know and witness to them. Try and witness as my wife built over the years and years and years. She gave little tidbits to her hairdresser, more and more and more and more. And then time before last, she was able to lead her hairdresser to the Lord. Amen. Amen. It took a long time, but tidbits. But that's all right. She just laid them out there, tried to turn the conversation around, and ultimately God did the work. And even if she'd never able to lead her to the Lord, you know what? It was off of her head because she had tried. So how are you doing? How are you doing at shotgun evangelism? And you already understand what I mean by that. It's the broad spectrum of evangelism. How are you doing at personal evangelism? Are you sharing the gospel personally? And I just want to remind you that we have a treasure. Bible says it's a treasure in an earthen vessel. What is that? Our little pea-picking brain, our finite brain, has a truth that can turn somebody from hell to heaven. This earthen vessel in our body, we can share that truth as somebody shared with you. And some of you got ticked off the first several times that they witnessed to you. But then you know what? It got to you. And you got saved. Amen? Get into God's dynamic. Shotgun approach, personal approach. We'll go further along in this series the next time we're together. Let's pray.